Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Gene Grossman is a famed speaker, author, professor, media personality, and management consultant to major corporations. His award-winning television productions have aired on Ted Turner's Superstation TBS. He's also a contributing editor to IBM's Creativity magazine. This guy has so many facets. And I only knew him at first as someone who does Lincoln impersonation and is one of the top Lincoln impersonators in the country. And with his book, which is called The Words Lincoln Live By, that's the way I knew him. That's how I've introduced him to you now for about a year and a half. But this gentleman has many, many other facets to his professionalism, and we're going to talk about one of those others today. Gene Grossman, welcome back to the show.
I'm glad to be with you, Jim.
It's good to have you with us. We're going to leave Mr. Lincoln. We're going to let Mr. Lincoln sleep late today, aren't we?
I was going to say this. We're going to give Lincoln a rest for one day, aren't we?
We're going to talk about time tactics, folks. I'm holding in my hand a book that our friend Gene Grossman has written called Time Tactics of Very Successful People, and I've also have a couple of tapes here. One is called Grossman Live: Lessons Learned from High Achievers, and the other one is called How to Get More Out of Every Day. These are all products that Gene makes available to people. And Gene, I want you to tell us a little bit about what you do with some of these people in a few minutes, but first I want to get into the book a little bit. This is an outstanding book. It's an excellent book. My audience knows that I review a lot of books before I ever let any authors on the show, and only the ones that are worthy of my time, and their money are the ones that I introduce to them. And I really like this book. What made you decide to write a book like this?
Well, I wanted to write a book because it's an outgrowth of some work I'd done to find out what is a characteristic of a very successful person. And I discovered from a lot of interviews that very successful people are time conscious.
Mm-hmm.
So my next step was to talk to successful people and ask really successful people, how do you manage your time? So this is a book with just scores of tips that successful people have told me about how they get more out of every day. Time tactics of very successful people tells how people are dealing with the time crunch.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes a lot of sense, and you're exactly right. And the busier you become, the more you become conscious of the time. Now, the question is whether you know how to manage that or not. That's the issue, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
And, of course, someone once said, you know, when we come into this world, regardless of how much money we come into to the world with or not, regardless of whether we're good-looking or not, regardless of where we are in the world, there's one thing that is a common denominator for all of us, and that's we all have the same amount of time.
That's exactly right. You're almost paraphrasing something that Stanley Marcus, as in Neiman Marcus, gave me. It was one of the interviews that led to writing Time Tactics for Successful People. I said it at Neiman Marcus, you have sold to the most powerful and wealthiest people in the world. What do they have in common besides money? And he said, 24-hour days. He said, I don't mean to be facetious, but the most successful person in the world and the most unsuccessful gets the same allocation of hours every day, 24.
Not one more.
Right.
There's a part in this book, folks. I picked out some sections, and Gene, I'd let you know about some of the sections in the book that really spoke to me a lot, and I wanted you to talk to us about it. And the first one is called Be a Contrarian, and this, folks, this is in chapter 5. I want to read something here that Gene has got in the book here. This is something Christopher Morley said: read every day something no one else is reading. Think every day something no one else is thinking. It is bad for the mind to always be part of unanimity. I like that.
You know, being a contrarian, that is, doing what other people are not doing, thinking what other people are not thinking, is not only a way of life, but it's a very effective way to get your work done. For example,
well, I would, go ahead.
If you go to work at an hour different from others, you're going to be able to go quicker. If you shop at an hour that is not the same that everybody else is trying to shop, you're going to be able to shop more quickly. You just figure out when everybody else is doing it, and you do it at a different time.
You know, I will say, though, as a card-carrying contrarian, which I am, I mean, I'm known for that, you have to have a little bit of a thick skin to be able to flourish as a contrarian.
Yes, indeed.
Because you're not like everybody else. You're different. And I certainly am. And I've got plenty of people who can offer lots of evidence on that. But you really, it's not for everybody, is it, to be a contrarian?
No, but it's a smart thing to do. And there are some simple things that can be done. For example, I had an assistant a few years ago when I was on the faculty at Georgia Tech. He liked to come in very early in the morning. So I arranged for him to come in before everybody got there, and then we worked out flex time so that he could leave in the middle of the afternoon. I would come in later in the morning and stay till late, so we had the phones covered for a long period of time. But he came in early, didn't have any traffic, was able to find a parking space, and he was able to do a lot of work before the phone started ringing. So he was a contrarian.
Well, and I'll tell you, there's another section in this chapter called the 5 o'clock club, and I'm going to get you to tell us about that because one of the things that I know small business owners are doing all over the country and maybe all over the world is they're already in their offices, many of them, whether it be at home or downtown, they're already in their offices an hour, 2 hours before the phone rings because they know that's when they can get the most quality work done on the projects that they want to work on, and you call that being a member of the 5 o'clock club.
Actually, Mary Kay, as in Mary Kay Cosmetics, gave me that name whenever I was doing an interview with her. She said that she had recommended all her sales associates, many of whom are mothers who are also selling cosmetics as a sideline venture. She said, I recommend that they join the 5 o'clock club. I said, in the morning? She said, yes. And then she said, I recommend that my sales associates get up before the family gets up. That's when they go over their inventory. That's when they write their thank you notes. She said it is amazing how much you can get done in an hour or two before other people start interrupting you. And I have discovered, because I have, in writing Time Tactics of very successful people and doing other kinds of things, interview celebrities and very successful people, I was literally amazed at how many heads of businesses are in their office, just like you say, 5 or 6 o'clock, getting work done before the phone starts ringing. Often if you call at that time and I tell salespeople, do you want to get to a decision maker,
that's exactly
try
right.
a phone call early in the morning.
Yep, or you know what else, late after everybody else has gone home. They not only come early, they stay late.
When I was doing my television show, I was told to call a U.S. senator early in the morning. Called him early in the morning. He came on. I was told flabbergasted. I said, is your assistant there?
Stand by, Jim. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Gene Griceman is our special guest in our good friend. Stay with us. All right, we are back. 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is our good friend, Dr. Gene Griceman, the author of the book that I'm holding in my hand, Time Tactics of Very Successful People. And, you know, Gene, you were talking about getting up early and getting the work done, that being a member of the 5 o'clock club and all that. I was in North Carolina last month. I was a keynote speaker at the North Carolina Business Incubators Association's annual meeting, and I picked up a couple of pretty good little sayings over there, and one of them I thought of as you were talking about being a member of the 5 o'clock club, and that is that you know the early bird gets the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. I thought that was pretty good.
That's a little thing about second mouse. Be not the first by which the new is tried, nor yet the last to lay the old aside.
Yeah, I like that. Oh, and by the way, this doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about, but it was another one I picked up. This guy got up in front and accepted an award, and he said, what he was doing, this is all about giving other people credit. And he said, you know, when you see a turtle sitting on top of a post, there's one thing you know about that turtle. He didn't get there by himself. So I thought that was a pretty good way to lead into recognizing other people. So, folks, you can use that whenever you want to. You have my permission because I got his permission. Let's talk about mastering your moods.
Yes.
You know, I think most of us don't realize how much our moods affect how effective we are in with our time.
Well, it's terribly effective. You see, very many of the people who listen to your show, if they're in business for themselves, very often they're in control of their time. They don't have a boss anymore to
That's
tell
right.
them they have to do this or not do this. And so you wake up, you got a whole day in front of you, and if you are not motivated, if you haven't organized your day, if you feel like you've got the blahs, what does it matter if you've got a whole day stretching out in front of you if you haven't mastered your own will? So I thought, why not have some tips in here about how to overcome procrastination, how to get through the blahs? And so let me just give you two or three tips that will work for people who have the blahs. First of all, you can use affirmation therapy. That is, you can't control what you think, but you can control what you say. So you can say out loud, enthusiastically, boy, am I enthusiastic. You can say certain things about yourself or doing jobs that actually the saying of them will help you do it. You can use humor. Sometimes if you are in the dumps, just by having a good laugh or just by smiling. For example, if you want to do something right now that's sort of amazing, put a big smile on your face and you'll find that all the time you are physically smiling, it is almost impossible to feel depressed.
Well, you know, one thing, Gene, that my audience has heard me say before, and it actually came, it's my saying, but it came from a real experience, and I was having a bad day and thought everything was going wrong, and then here comes a phone call, and it was from somebody that I knew was just going to complain, and I knew it was going to be a negative phone call, and I did not want to take that call. I did not, and I remember saying to myself, I don't need this today, but I took the call anyway. Guess what? It was business. The guy was calling me to send me some business. He wasn't calling to give me a hard time at all. And I remember thinking, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
That's exactly right.
And so as you were saying that, that made me think of that.
Here's another one that's a mastery mood. Do a low priority item to get your motor turning over. If you've got a number of items on your to-do list and one of them is a big daunting thing that you've been putting off, start out by doing something that's easy. And you'll find that just by doing something easy, just by getting started, like filing or looking at a newspaper or looking at letters that haven't been answered, just by doing something that's fairly easy and doing something about that, you'll be able to move to the tough item that you've been putting off.
My grandmother called that making a showing. Yeah, when I was growing up on the farm, she called that making a showing. In other words, you're something that it doesn't take a lot of effort, but you see a lot being done.
That's very good. By the way, there's one that is close to that if you're having to cope with procrastination. And it's called perform a leading task, L-E-A-D-I-N-G, leading task.
Mm-hmm.
And that is do something physical that moves you toward the big task. For example, if you've been putting off writing an article, you get out all of the books, all of the information, set it out, cut on the computer, get everything ready so that you, when you can force yourself over the edge, you can move. So it's
folks,
called a leading task.
Stand by, Gene. Folks, all this is in the book, Time Tactics of Very Successful People by Gene Griseman. We're going to talk about some more of these when we come back after these messages. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. All right, we're back. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And when you go there, if you'll check in the Brain Trust section, you'll find a bio and links to our very good friend and our special guest this hour, Dr. Gene Griseman, who is the author of The Words Lincoln Lived By, which is absolutely one of my top three favorite books in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this book that I'm holding in my hand, which is something it's fairly new to me because I've only had it a month or so, is Time Tactics of Very Successful People, which is an outstanding business document and that I recommend to you folks. And by the way, Gene, tell us how they can get this book.
Well, first of all, I am happy this book, Time Tactics of Very Successful People, has just gone into its 14th printing.
14th?
Yes.
Congratulations. I don't think I've ever had anybody on the show that had a 14th printing.
Yeah, it has become a bestseller in the time management field.
Well, I'll tell you, my audience knows I don't have chopped liver on this show, so that's just another indication, folks, of the quality of authors that we have on the Small Business Advocate show.
I think it's in seven languages, and it's a book
of
sets. So it's become very successful.
Congratulations. That's great.
So
I didn't know that.
You can get it in any bookstore, or if they don't have it, they'll order it for you.
Right.
You can get it, of course, Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. But I have a website, and they can order it through me. It's www.presidentlincoln.com. One word, presidentlincoln.com. That's, of course, because of my Lincoln one-man play, and we'll find the book on Lincoln.
Right.
But this is by far my biggest seller. This has become a bestseller. And one reason for it is that every chapter can be read in about 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend to people, if you're having trouble managing your time, you go through and you find one little chapter in the book and you master that, sort of like you're mastering a new word in your vocabulary.
Right.
And gradually you become very fluent in this vocabulary of time management.
Absolutely. And folks, as I said, I recommended it. And I knew that I liked it, and I knew there was a reason, but I didn't know that I was that I was going to be, my decision to make this available to you was going to be supported by 14 reprints. That's great.
I feel good.
Congratulations. And 7 languages.
Yeah.
Let's talk about something that I knew this law, but I didn't know what it was called. It's called Parkinson's Law.
Yes, Parkinson's
Tell us,
Law.
Define Parkinson's Law.
Actually, there was a man named Parkinson, and he did write a book, and his law essentially is this. Work expands so as to fill the time and resources available for its completion. Work expands so as to fill the time and resources available for its completion. For example, if you have a project and you say, okay, this will take me 2 weeks for me to do this project. You know how long it'll take?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. You could probably do the same job if you said this will take 1 week. You could do it in 1 week. Or if you said 2 days, you could do it in 2 days. It's just that whenever you allocate a certain amount of time to the completion of a task, it's going to take about the amount of time you allocate.
And if you don't allocate time, then therefore, more than likely, it may not get done. I mean, how many times, Gene, have you and I heard someone say, maybe we've said it ourselves, look, give me a deadline, because if you don't, I won't get it done.
That's so true. And so what happens is, if you create, even in your own mind, an arbitrary date that is much closer than you really feel comfortable with, what that will do is get the adrenaline pumping, and you get it done, and it'll probably be done better because you've revved your engine up.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I want to read that again, Gene. This is Parkinson's Law, folks, and this is something that we all know about. We just didn't know what it was called, probably. Work expands so as to fill the time available for its completion. That's an insidious situation, isn't it? Talk to us about, and this is Chapter 8, folks, is the one that kind of hits me between the eyes. Gene, I have a confession to make. I'm a procrastinator. I don't like it. It's the thing about me that I hate the most. And the thing is, I get a lot accomplished. But fundamentally, deep inside, I fight this all the time. Talk to us about procrastination.
You're like everybody else. First of all, let me say something good about procrastination.
Good.
And that is, sometimes you should put something off. Let me give you, first of all, psychologically, you should not do something until your subconscious has had a chance to work on it. And if you find yourself in a situation where someone is pressuring you to make a decision and you don't feel comfortable about it, you should, first of all, if in no other way, in your own mind, ask, what will happen if I don't do it?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if something really bad will happen if you don't do it now, that puts you into a different kind of ball game. But if you can say to the other person, and I know salespeople hate to hear this, but if you can say, I won't think about this overnight. Give me some time to think about this, and I'll get back to you. If you can buy that much time, your subconscious will come up with a decision.
Exactly. What I say to myself and to anybody whenever I'm in a situation like that is, I'm going to sleep on it.
And that is good advice. So whenever you can, you should.
So
procrastination is not bad.
One of the things that I used to tell my children when they'd want something right now, I'd say, look, let's sleep on it, and if we all feel the same way tomorrow morning, we'll do it. Yeah, that was a good learning lesson for them, and for me as well. Gene, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 39 After. Our good friend Gene Greisman is with us. He's the author of Time Tactics of Very Successful People in its 14th printing. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 44 After. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I appreciate your business. Gene Greisman is our special guest and our very good friend. He's been with us many times before, and always enjoy having Gene with us. He's a very generous person with his time and with his wisdom. And Gene, you do speaking all over the country, and actually all over the world, I know.
Yes.
You work with corporations to help them with things like time tactics. You also do your Lincoln impressions. What's the best way to say that?
Well, I am a Lincoln portrayer.
Portrayer. That's the word I keep forgetting.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, obviously, there are a lot of people who do Lincoln in various places. There's a designated Lincoln who learns the Gettysburg Address and does it on 4th of July. And so whenever people ask me about this, I say they are all impersonators.
Well, let me ask you a question. What made you decide to become a Lincoln portrayer?
Well, the reason I did this was that I was already doing programs on high achievement.
Yeah.
All of my programs are about high achievement, the achievement factors, which is characteristics of very successful people, time tactics of very successful people, how high achievers manage their time. So I was already doing programs, speeches, keynotes for conventions and corporations, and so I thought, why don't I create a one-man play about a high achiever that will tell the same message but in a different way? And so I thought, who could I do? And then I thought, why not use the most dramatic high achievement story in American history, from log cabin to White House? And so that's the reason I chose Lincoln. It didn't have anything to do with North, South, or history. I wanted to choose a dramatic story of high achievement to illustrate the point of what people do to become high achievers.
Now, on page 93, just in case you didn't know, I paid attention.
Yes.
On page 93 of the book, The Words Lincoln Lived By, is chapter 42, which is on timing. And what you said there was a quote here is, I shall go just so fast and only so fast as I think I'm right and the people are ready for that step.
Yes, and that's a Lincoln quote.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln was a master at timing. If you're going to be an effective politician, and I'm using politician in the best sense of the word, and there is a best sense of that word, you cannot get too far ahead of the people or too far behind them. You've got to sense what they are willing and capable of doing, and Lincoln was a master at that.
Right. And that gets into the management of time. You've got to know when to do things when, and not only do you have to manage the quantity of your time, you have to manage the positioning of your time, which Lincoln called timing, which we all call timing. And
it's so important if you're in small business, and that is very often ideas fail, not because they're bad ideas, but because they're presented at the wrong time.
Absolutely. Do you have anything left on procrastination before we move on?
Yeah, well I'm going to put that.
You had said something good about procrastination. What's something bad about procrastination?
I will put off talking about that to our next show. Let me give you one way to deal with procrastination, and that is make the unpleasant phone call first. Now, I learned that from a very successful business person. She told me, I can't stand to have red things hanging over me all day. So what I do is I have that unpleasant meeting first. I make the unpleasant phone call first so I can get on with more important things in the day. If you put off the unpleasant phone call, it's going to eat at you all the time you are putting it off. It is psychologically wearing to procrastinate. So go ahead and deal with it and then move on with the rest of your life.
Good suggestion on avoiding procrastination. Chapter 9 is about avoiding time-wasting activities.
Well, I'll give you one good rule. If a thing is not worth doing, be sure not to do it.
How do we know that, though?
Well, a lot of times, you can ask some questions. First of all, will anything bad, really bad, happen if I don't do it?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we accept tasks that we know we shouldn't do just because we don't want to hurt the feelings of the person who has asked us to do it.
Right.
So you have to ask this question. Is it worth doing? If it's not worth doing, be sure not to do it. And then I have a little formula about how to say no. A lot of people don't know how to say no. They stumble and fumble around, and they hurt the feelings of the person who has asked them to do it. Let me give you three basic parts of the formula. First of all, when somebody asks you something, you know you shouldn't do it. First of all, thank you very much for asking. Put it in your own words, but first part's thank you. Second part, unfortunately, because of prior commitment, I can't take that on at this time. The operative phrase, at this time. Third part, I hope you give me a rain check. So very quickly, go into that formula. Thank you for asking. I'm sorry, but because of previous commitments, I can't take it on at this time. I hope you'll give me a rain check, and then change the subject.
Very professional, very gracious. That's excellent. And, you know, that happens to us. Sometimes what happens is you start being in demand. People find out about you. They find out that you're a volunteer. They find out that you're capable and you're dependable, et cetera, et cetera. And so what happens is that people start asking you to be on this committee and that committee, and it gets to be heady at first. I mean, it's seductive, isn't it? And you got to learn how to say no, because eventually you will get in over your head and run out of time, which we have done for this segment. But we'll be back to wrap up the hour right after these messages. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Gene Greissman is our very good friend and our special guest. All right, we're back to 54 After. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, I appreciate your business. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, which is where you can go to find out more about our special guest and our very good friend, Gene Greissman, the author of Time Tactics of Very Successful People, and also the other book that you've heard us talk about a lot on this show, The Words Lincoln Lived by 52 Timeless Principles to Light Your Path, both of these by Gene Greissman. And Gene, you have a website where they can also go to buy either of these books, which are available from any of the online bookstores and also in the bookstore, the regular bookstores, the old-fashioned ones. And they can also find some tapes that you've prepared, and those are only some of those are only available on your website. Give us
that's
that.
That's correct.
Address,
the website is www.presidentlincoln.com. One word, presidentlincoln.com.
Awesome. Right. And as I said, if you're noodling around on my site and you'd like to check Gene out, his link, the link to his site is on my site, at least actually probably several different places, one in the guest section and also on the Brain Trust section. Gene, let's wrap up the hour by talking about one of my favorite sections in Chapter 10, expanding your time queue vocabulary. What in the world is a time queue?
Well, first of all, good time management is a vocabulary. You learn to become fluent in this language of managing your time. And so it is really true that if you learn how to say things, you can save time. For example, I'm going to give you one way to use a time cue. Someone calls you, you pick up the phone, you know that you should be in a meeting or you should really walk out the door in about 3 or 4 minutes, or maybe you should have already walked out the door, but it's a really important call from a really important person. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? My recommendation is right at the very get-go, you say, gosh, Bill, glad you called. I'm supposed to be at a meeting right now. I've got about 1 minute that we can talk now. Can you tell me a good time to call back, or can we spend 1 minute? What you will find is if you give that cue at the beginning, very often the person will edit. They'll say, well, you know, I need only 30 seconds to tell you. It's just an FYI kind of thing. And they will edit down to that minute that you've given them.
And they won't think you're being rude if they might if you didn't say that, and a minute later you had to tell them you had to go take another call.
You said it exactly, because if you say it later on in the conversation, there's a sense that they may feel, well, maybe he isn't enjoying this conversation. It sounds a little bit rude at the end. It is not as rude. It is more diplomatic if at the very beginning you tell the time frame you've got to work with.
Time cues. Now, I've done that in meetings where I'd go into a meeting and I'd say, guys, before we get started, I apologize for this, but I may have to leave and take a phone call in the middle of our meeting. And if you prepare them for that, everybody appreciates it, don't they?
I'll tell you, that is so good. By the way, if you're on the other end of the table, that is, if you're presenting to somebody, you've got an appointment, you go in to see a very busy, busy person, you finally got that appointment, the first thing I ask is, How much time do we have? When do you need to wrap this up?
Excellent time cue.
And
very
excellent.
People
tell you that, and then I honor that. When that time comes to, they say, well, you know, 5 minutes I've got or 10. When that 10-minute time has elapsed, you honor that and say, well, you know, you said you had 10 minutes. I want to honor it. Very often they'll say, you know, I'm really enjoying this. Let's go for 10 or 15 more minutes. Well, that's a great signal if you're selling that you're doing well.
And that raises your level of professionalism in their eyes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, no question about it. It tells them that you're respecting their time and that you actually have time that you're managing, you know, of your own. Gene, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. It just goes by too fast. I always enjoy visiting with you. I'm looking forward to our next one.
It'll be my pleasure, Jim. Thank you for having me on the show.
Have a good one. Ladies and gentlemen, Gene Greissman, the author of Time Tactics of Very Successful People. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later. Steve Martin.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.